The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
An explosive-laden drone discovered at Leipzig airport earlier this month. Claims of foreign sabotage, cyber attacks and espionage. And it's because of these threats that the German government wants to give its spy agencies unprecedented new powers. Supporters say it's about keeping Germany safe. Critics warn it could come at the cost of civil liberties. Well, Germany's push for greater intelligence powers comes against the backdrop of the war in Ukraine. For years, German and other European officials have accused Russia of waging a hybrid campaign against Germany, which is one of Ukraine's biggest military supporters. But across Europe, cases of sabotage, spying, drone interference and cyber attacks are on the rise. And the German government believes it needs an intelligence service that can fight back.
I'm delighted to be here in the Oval Office as our administration takes another historic step in our mission to make America healthy again. Today, we're proud to officially announce the United States of America's gold standard childhood vaccination recommendations. For long and far too long, long period of time, America's recommended more childhood vaccines than any peer nation, and even twice as many doses as some European countries, and even more than that. In many cases, we're requiring 72 jabs for our beautiful, healthy, lovely, delicate little children, including giving the hepatitis B shot to infants and newborns on top of many other vaccinations. Effective immediately, my administration is recognizing gold standard childhood vaccine recommendations for only 11 core vaccinations against the most serious and dangerous diseases.
Dr. Fauci, can't you challenge the auto pen? You should challenge in court.
Well, we are doing
the auto pen.
We are doing.
You are doing. Okay, good.
What has to happen? I mean, I've become an expert on the auto pen thing because I'm not an auto pen guy, as you see. I'm not sure I ever used an auto pen, but I sign my name a lot each day. People like the signature too. It's a good signature, I guess, but people like it. But
and I think there's a second legal ground to attack the pardon on, because Fauci was not charged with a crime. How do you pardon someone with a blanket pardon when they've never been accused of anything or convicted of anything? It makes no sense.
I haven't heard that, but I mean, that one I can't speak to. From what I understand, you do have the right to do that. It's, you know,
amazing.
A preemptive pardon. You do
amazing.
Have the right to do preemptive.
Why would someone need to be pardoned if they never did anything wrong in the first place, right? So,
I could tell you this. I did nothing wrong, but I was advised by numerous lawyers that these are bad people. You should give yourself a pardon and save yourself a lot of trouble. And I said, you know what? I did nothing wrong, and I'm not going to do that. I did nothing wrong. And
yeah, well.
Dr.
Fauci, I got news for you. Dr. Fauci did do something wrong, and we really need to go after him. And I hope, my hope is we can get him on the state level.
That's all being looked at.
My hope is, President, we can get him on the state level.
We have a lot of things that were done so badly that really, really was something. But boy, I tell you, the Fauci does have, it has a big audience. There's no question about it.
To his credit, Wayne Root there, he tried and tried and tried to steer Donald Trump back to the crimes of Tony Fauci. And yet, as Donald Trump often does, he it's as if he doesn't even hear the question. He went from Fauci, why would he need a pardon if he committed no crimes? And then President Trump starts talking about, well, I didn't commit any crimes. What? There's that. Then there's some good news. I mean, to go from 72 jabs to 11, at least it's a step in the right direction. I'll give you a quote from our literature here in just a second, though. Just to highlight how unique how unique the message of God is, the truth of God. I've been pointing out just how you see the daily news cycle and it makes you appreciate God's truth, the clarity of it, the focus, the fact that God is so emphatic. He's so clear. And then there at the top of the cold open, you see how Germany is giving its spy agencies unprecedented new powers. Germany's preparing for war. We've got another story where it talks about the UK going after all of these people committing thought crimes. So that's what Britain's doing, even as Germany prepares for war. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or the Rumble channel, or the YouTube channel, and you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. So lots of ways that we could go with this daily news cycle, with the cold open that you saw right there. I want to begin, though, with a quote. This is from The Plain Truth About Healing. Just again, to highlight how unique, how different the message of God is, the truth of God. And you can see why God says to his servants throughout the scriptures, now you better go forth boldly because you're going to stand out. When you came into the church, you came out of this world, and the world doesn't like that, because when you start crying aloud and sparing not, like Isaiah 58:1 says, it's going to expose the evils of this world. So 72 jabs bad, 11 jabs good. 11 jabs saves lives. That's the standard, I guess, that you see in the world, or at least in the world of America. And President Trump noted that, you know, in other nations, they don't jab their babies near as much as we do. And you put all that together and it's dangerous. It can be deadly. But you reduce it a little bit, separate it apart by a few days, few weeks, whatever, and then it becomes very, very healthy. Like I say, it's better than 72, but we're not exactly rising to the standard that God sets and that God reveals in The Plain Truth About Healing. Mr. Armstrong says, medical science operates primarily on that method, the method being trying with medicines to prevent God's law from exacting its penalty. There is a law of cause and effect. There's a cause for sickness. There's a cause for disease. And in this booklet, Mr. Armstrong tries to help for us to understand that you have to go and stop doing what caused it. Repent, in other words. And then cry out to God for deliverance, for healing. That theory says, in effect, we can transgress God's law and then prevent God's law from exacting its penalty. The theory is the sufferer has in his body one poison, so we add another poison in the form of medicine, and one poison plus one more poison equals no poison, as Mr. Armstrong often said. It's a matter of arithmetic. Does one poison plus one poison equal zero poison? No, that equals two poisons. God has gone to great lengths to bestow upon us his love and mercy and to be consistent with his law. God's arithmetic is one poisonous minus that one poison equals no poison. That's the simplicity and the beauty of God's word, God's truth. And we're thankful for it. We appreciate the clarity. Even a child can understand this. Imagine pumping a baby full of... I'm so far removed from the vaccine world, I can't even imagine how a baby could survive 72 jabs of all these poisons. It says something about just how resilient the human body is and how it fights off all these germs and all of this this toxicity, this poison. If you look at so many of these stories that we'll touch on today, you can see how that we have to be tough Christians to be able to proclaim the truth of God. We can't water down the truth to try to please the medical community, big pharma, or people that are convinced that Germany, the Holy Roman Empire, Nazism could never, never, never rise again. No, certainly not. It takes some courage to proclaim the truth of the Bible, to talk about Bible prophecy, to talk about the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. It takes some courage to proclaim to Ephraim and Manasseh their sins, the sickness. You think about all these Islamists that have beheaded Brits or raped British girls, and they're either getting away or they're close to getting away because they lie and the police believe them. And meanwhile, you've got the police chasing down those people that would dare complain about Islam. Thought crimes. That's law enforcement in Britain today. Meanwhile, British police only punish 11% of sex offenders. Now, if you're guilty of rape, well, you've got an 89% chance of going free in Britain today. This is law enforcement in Britain today. I mentioned on the show yesterday, for all of his crimes, is Anthony Fauci going to be held to account? Will he be punished in any way? He's not going to be punished. And I played that clip yesterday. It was weak, as I said. It was weak coming from President Trump. Well, what about all these revelations now on the cell phone? What about the fact that he was telling pregnant women this publicly, but privately he acknowledged there's risks? And all that it boils down to for the Trump administration is, you know, Biden bad, Otto Penn bad, but we're good, and I'm not guilty of any crimes. Pay attention to the question. How about a direct response? For someone that can answer very directly at times, you can definitely see when he just does not want to go in the direction of Fauci. He can't, because he allowed Fauci to do what he did. He stepped aside and let Fauci run the country for a matter of months, maybe more. And he was all for the jab. Now he's kind of not all for the jab, at least all these other jabs, I mean, at least not all together. And we're going to cut it back because now this is my policy determines this to be safe. Before, it could be deadly. What we were doing before was deadly. And now we've got a program, we've got an agenda that's very, very safe. This world and the things of this world, God tells us to come out of it. We spent a lot of time earlier this week talking about overcoming and conquering the ways of this world, the teachings of this world, the traditions of this world. That's the message Jesus came with. That's what he taught his disciples. That's what he told the ruling class of his day, the religious elites. I just got into the epistles of Paul. And by the way, with school now in session, and all these classes that we're immersed into, and the forums we hear, and the studies that we're going through in the Bible, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of different topics that factor into the TD. Hopefully we won't stray too far off topic, but it's hard not to look at, in this case, Paul's life. As I started the class today, here he's on the run. The ruling class of Jerusalem, the religious elites, they want to kill him. Why would they want to kill the Apostle Paul? He was a man of God. He was a towering figure of history. And he was beheaded in the end because the world hated his message. It was the same with Jesus. It was the same with the Apostle Peter. It was the same with so many of the other first century apostles. They had to sacrifice their life for this. So when you look into the Old Testament, you see God telling Jeremiah, telling Ezekiel, listen, this is what you're going to encounter. This is the resistance you're going to face. You have a unique, special message. No one else has it. And so brace yourself for persecution, for trial, for test. Brace yourself for resistance. Notice what God told the prophet Jeremiah. This is in Jeremiah 1, verse 17. He said, "You therefore gird up your loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command you." Just tell them everything I tell you to tell them. Just do what I say. I played a couple of clips at the orientation on Monday where my father's, as you heard yesterday, he's talking to these young people. Actually, this was on the Key of David, I think. I get all of the programs a little bit mixed up from time to time. But on the program, we played this little snippet of my father addressing teenagers. And he's telling them about our adversary, the devil. He's telling them about what we're going up against, the prince of the power of the air. And as I said on that Key of David recording, critics could look at that and say, what are you talking to teenagers about this subject for? Are you trying to scare them? Don't talk about the devil. Don't talk about Satan, the devil, and his awesome power. Terrifying power. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Bring them smooth things. Well, there's scriptures that say exactly that. That's what people want. They want a nice sounding message that just tickles the ears. They don't want the truth. What my father was giving that camp, it was actually back in 1998, he was giving these young people the truth. And what God is giving to Jeremiah, by the way, is 17 years old right here. He's a teenager, okay? He's a teenager. If he were at youth camp back in the day, here's the message that God gave to him. Speak unto them all that I command you. Do what you're told. Just follow instructions. It says, do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. Now, if you have a King James Bible, look into the margin, and it says confound means to break in pieces. So here are your choices. Speak what I tell you to speak, even if you meet resistance every step of the way, even if they fight you, even if they try to kill you, just speak what I tell you to speak, or I'll break you in pieces. So which is it? We can try to run from this commission, these instructions. We can run like Jonah did. We can run, but it doesn't take us to safety. Jesus could have fled the crucifixion. He could have run for the hills of Judea. He could have ran down into the Jordan Valley that night he was at Gethsemane. It was just, 30 miles away? But he didn't. He faced it. He faced the persecution with boldness. And what a victory that represents. It opens up the family of God to all of mankind. God's purpose shall stand. God cannot use messengers who are weak and timid, who are afraid, who don't want to get into the fight. Notice verse 18. For behold, I have made you this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah. Here's what Jeremiah was up against. The kings of Judah, the princes thereof, also the princes, the priests thereof, also the religion, the religious elites, and then also, the people. The people of the... In other words, everybody. You're going against everyone. You're going against the thinking and the traditions and the ways of this world. You're really going to stand out. So you better be strong. If you're going to boldly proclaim the truth, you better be on a sure foundation. What's the truth about physical health? About putting poisons into your body? What's the truth about what's now forming in the heart of Europe? and its beating heart being Germany. What's the history? What's the prophecy regarding Germany? They may be uncomfortable truths, but if it's the truth, God says, just tell them what I tell you to say, and I'll protect you. I'll intervene. I'll open doors. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about men. Don't worry about what men think. Why should President Trump or anyone be worried about what would this mean if I went after Fauci because he lied and it cost lives? Look at the way, as I said yesterday, look at the way they hunted down other doctors that went against Fauci. One thing you've got to hand it to the radical left. They go in for the kill. They go after their enemies. It doesn't make it right. I'm just saying, where's the courage from the other side? God's church stands alone. It's a lone voice. Herbert Armstrong was a voice crying in the wilderness amid all this religious confusion, as he said when he went through Isaiah 40. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, Paul said to Timothy, his most trusted advisor and evangelist, "Be not you therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner." Don't be ashamed just because I'm in jail. Paul spent 1/6 of his ministry in jail. People could have been discouraged. People could have fled and said, "I don't want any part of this kind of religion. I don't want to follow an apostle who spends 20-some percent of his ministry in prison." It says, "But watch you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry." It was not the easy, smooth sailing way. And of course, Jesus in the Count the Cost chapter, Luke 14, he told us this much. He said, when you come along into this, make sure you know what you're getting into. Because when they come after you, your work, the church, just know that's been the history. 2,000 years. Don't cozy up to this world. Get cozy with God. Recently, I was in the Ezra Nehemiah booklet, and you can see in that example here, God had extended Hezekiah's life by 15 years, and during that time, he became complacent, and these leaders from Babylon showed up, and Hezekiah said, "Yeah, come right in. Look at all the treasures in God's house." He just invited the world right into the heart of God's house, and God wasn't happy about it. And God sent his prophet to correct the king, King Hezekiah. And God, like my father says in the Ezra booklet, God asked him some hard questions. And Ezra kind of, he beat around the bush. Sorry, Hezekiah beat around the bush a little bit. God wants us to just answer straight up. And if we have to repent because we've been exposed as a liar, as a fraud, we welcome that because we want to get back on track. We want to make sure that God is on our side. That passage, I don't know if I read verse 19, Jeremiah 1:19 says, "And they shall fight against you." All of these people, kings of Judah, princes, priests, the people, "They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am the Eternal, saith the Lord. I will deliver you." God delivers. God delivers. We're on God's side, and we have a unique message. No other organization, no other church, no other group has this truth. But God doesn't want us to just receive it and sit on it. He wants us to deliver it, to live it, to know it, to live it, and to distribute it. That's the spirit of God's love. That's the way of God. That's the more excellent way. That's what we're in training for. This vaccine order from whitehouse.gov. It says, President Trump signed an executive order to maximize parental choices over vaccinations for their children. As I say, it's a step in the right direction. It certainly is a step in the direction of freedom, at least giving parents the free, particularly those with a religious exception, like those of us in God's church, to bow out of these programs where they're just injecting all of these toxins and poisons into little infants. So I'm not trying to be too critical here. 11's better than 72, but you know what's better than 72 even more? Zero. Zero is better than 11. How about that? Well, that's a message that may not win a lot of friends. Not in this world, but it doesn't matter. What is God's opinion? That's what matters. That's where we want to be. It says here, the scientific assessment found in the U.S. currently recommends more childhood vaccines than any peer nation. It's true. Can people connect the dots? More jabs than any other nation, any other industrialized Western nation, and more sickness. What? Yeah, more sickness. America's not exactly setting the example for the world in personal fitness and abundant living and good health. Far from it. We're down at the bottom. It says here, in 1980, American children following the CDC immunization schedule received 23 vaccine doses and 7 shots against 7 different diseases. That's when I was a kid. That's a lot. That's hard to believe. In 2024, the recommended number of routine vaccines had risen to at least 84 vaccine doses in at least 57 shots for 17 diseases. This is appalling. Isaiah 1 talks about sickness. It's speaking more spiritually than anything else. But we also happen to be sick physically. Don't get me started on COVID. I've already spent time on that the last couple of weeks. This is vaccinations. How many more jabs would we have 50 years from now if we just follow the progression? How much more can we pump into our infants' lives? From the 1980s to today, that kind of an increase. And as I say, 23 jabs in the 1980s, that's still a lot. That's still too much. That's zero is better than 23. The more we jab, the sicker we get. And you saw that. You saw that in the year 2020 and 2021. Leave aside what CNN and MS Now were saying at the time. Did the vaccine, did the mRNA experiment, did it really destroy COVID? Did it really save lives? There's people that throw around like 15 million people died worldwide because of COVID. Okay, if that's true, how many didn't die because of the vaccine? It's easy for some talking head to just say, yep, it saved millions of lives. That's why we worship Fauci. Here is another religion, the vaccine religion. And it has a lot of adherents. That's why RFK and others like them, they make themselves a target. When they come out and say, listen, can we at least go from 57 to 23? Can we just reduce it down from 72 to 11? And nothing mobilizes the vaccine worshipers quite like that. It's their God. It's their false god. It's their idol. 23 jabs in the 1980s, as if that's, minuscule. By signing today's executive order, President Trump is reaffirming his commitment to gold standard science. So here's the war over science. Science, falsely so-called, 1 Timothy 6. There is such a thing as false science. You know, as I was saying to the students this morning, we tend to put all the secular books on the bookshelf as, well, that's history. You know, we can go over there and find out about Napoleon. We can get all the exact dates, because that's very important, all the dry facts. And then you get into the Bible, and it just looks like it's the book of Acts, a history book. It looks like it's disjointed. It's not really connected. It doesn't really weave together the way a popular historian would like it to be. And we dismiss it. The Bible's the most accurate historical source in the world. And it may not have all the dates. It may leave out some details, but it has in what God inspired it to be. God put it together. It's everything we need. That's the way God's truth is. It's the foundation of all knowledge. It's the most important history book. It's the most important religious text. It's the most important instruction manual. And it's the most important book when it comes to forecasting future events. Newscasting. That's what Jesus was, a newscaster. He came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God to be set up and established on this earth. And if you know any more about the story, you know it didn't end well, that the world didn't receive that message, that the world rejected that message. Men love darkness, just like Jesus said in John 3. They love it. They love dwelling in the dark. They love groping in the dark. They love spiritual blindness. Listen to President Trump from the signing. I think this was a couple days ago, this vaccine executive order, clip 2.
We want it in 3 separate vaccinations, given at separate times. Together, there could be a possibility they're quite lethal, and separately, it looks like they are not at all lethal, but just very effective. So the MMR, we want to have separate visits, separate times. The vaccine being broken into 3 separate single doses and vaccines being administered in separate visits. For example, at 1 year, you should have 5 separate visits for vaccines rather than getting them all in the same day. And I saw this early on, and I've seen proof of it, where they have a vaccination thing, looks like the size of a bottle of soda poured into a little child's body, and bad things happen in too many cases, because this is an explosion. This is an epidemic. So at 1, you should have 5 separate visits for vaccines rather than giving them all in the same day.
Here again, the freedoms we enjoy in America, love it. The fact that he's going in the right direction, you have to congratulate him on that as well. But the bottom line, when it comes to God's truth, when it comes to God's revelation, if taken together, it's deadly, it's dangerous. But if we separate them apart and just do it gradually over time, then it's healthy, then it's good. That's not the way God's law works. That's the way this world is, by the way. A little bit of sin is fine. Now, man in his judgment decides when it's gone too far, when it's too much. There are definite lines that you can cross. And for that, we go to the distinguished walls of Congress to find out what laws have passed, millions and millions of them, to see what's right, to see what's wrong. You get away from the simplicity of Jesus Christ, of God's word, God's law, God's truth. You get away from that simplicity. Notice Job. I read this morning. It's a great, Job's answering his his worthless counselors. There was one that came with some sense toward the end. But Job had a self-righteousness problem. He wasn't without sin by any means. But in Job 13, verse 3, he said, "Surely I would speak to the Almighty and desire to reason with God." We played some clips this past week on that verse in Isaiah 1, reasoning with God. I think Mr. Hilliker touched on it in his orientation lecture. Reasoning with God. And then he says to the counselors, the worldly counselors, verse 4, "But you are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value." You're doctors. You're physicians of no value. You don't know what you're talking about. Herbert Armstrong used to say that the higher up you go in education, the more intellectual vanity you have, and the more ignorant you are of the truth. As I said in class this morning, it's, you know, let's appreciate how unique the Apostle Paul was. Here was this scholar, this religious, he was of the religious elites of his day before conversion. And that's very unusual when it comes to God's servants. A lot of times they, you know, they're out in the field picking figs or tending to the sheep. And then all of a sudden God speaks to them and he says, "Now I want you to go and speak what I tell you to speak." That's it. Very simple. Just follow instructions. You don't need a PhD. You don't need a doctorate. You don't need to be a physician. You just need to be willing to follow the instructions, the instruction manual. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go all the way for God? Are you willing to forsake 72 sins and go down to zero? It's a process. It may not happen overnight. But are you convicted enough to come out of this world, to totally abandon the ways of this world, and to give your life, your heart, your mind, your time, your material things to God if necessary? 100%. These are the percentages we're talking about in God's church, in God's family. When your mind is open to the truth, you see, most people aren't willing to go all the way. They're only willing to go part way. The indication was when Abraham left, when he left the world, Babylon, and went where God told him to go, that his father went part way with him, but not all the way. Abraham had to break free from friends, family, associates, businesses. He was a prosperous, you know, wealthy man, prominent man. And God said, read it in Genesis 12 on your own time. I want you to do this, this, and this. And he got up early the next day and he got on with it. He acted on the truth. Good, positive action. It's so easy to be intimidated by the scholarship of this world, isn't it? To think that, well, if they're a scholar, they must know everything. I still can't get over that clip I played yesterday. This woman who's just providing Fauci with coaching, practically. And they're both there. Yeah, if you listen to me and then this woman, this talking head, you don't even have to consult with a doctor. Just take the jab, would you? It doesn't matter that you're pregnant. Just take it. Satan intimidates. Satan intimidates us into weakness, into cowardice, into backing away from confrontation, from fighting for the truth. If God shows up one day and says, "Listen, speak my words or else I'll confound you, I'll break you in pieces. Now, just so that you know, if you choose speak my words, you're going to go up against the religious elites, the kings of Judah, all the princes, the royal court, and then also all the people. Can you stand against that kind of pressure, that kind of intimidation?" Jeremiah did. The Apostle Paul did. Jesus Christ did. Isaiah did. Ezekiel did. Amos did. Not that many others, though, are willing to do that. And you can see why. It's just easy to go the easy way, not the straight and narrow way. Listen to this this clip. This is going back to that interview that President Trump had with Wayne Root, clip 6.
So I saw that you are someone like me that's worried about childhood vaccines, that they give too many. And I agree with that. You know, I have 4 kids.
Not too many.
They're all too many.
It's too many.
Yeah.
Like the hepatitis B, which is a sexual, you know, you don't need to give it to a kid who's just perfectly bored.
Exactly.
With me, it's too many, but it's something bigger than too many. It's too big. It's too much at one time.
They give these Agreed.
Massive. Did you ever take a look? It looks like a Coca-Cola bottle. You know, like they're pumping this massive amount of fluid into a child's body. I don't care if it's water.
You know what the number is? 72.
And I want them to break it into 4 visits or 5 visits to the doctor. And I think that will have a huge impact.
He said some of the same things he said in the Oval Office. As long as you break it up into 4 or 5 separate visits, then, you know, everything's good. Then all of a sudden, it's a healing medicine. It's good for you. If you take it in small increments, then it's healthy. If you take a lot, then it kills you. Again, some repetition here, but listen to clip 7.
And the other thing is there are certain vaccines, you know, the MMR. Do you know the MMR, as an example? If you give them, I mean, certain studies, so what do you have to lose? You know what I'm doing? I'm saying, what do you have to lose? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Nobody's going to get hurt by it. MMR, if you give them separately, the M, and the R, it's fine. When you put them together, they're sort of like a nuclear weapon, according to some. So why would you give them separately?
Why would you give them separately? And why would you give a COVID vaccine to a child when not one child ever died of COVID who didn't start with childhood cancer?
True.
There's no risk of COVID killing children, right?
I agree.
You go toward the COVID direction, then President Trump begins to change the subject. Same with Fauci. Because here again, Trump was proud of Operation Warp Speed, how fast they got that out. Now, Root, for his part, I played that, or rather we read through a lot of his article from a couple of weeks ago where he talked about how COVID and the vaccine and all that, but COVID in particular was weaponized so that they could steal the election. So he goes in that direction in this next exchange. And again, listen to a weaker response. President Trump, for his part, to his credit, he knows they stole the election in 2020, but take it all the way. 100%. Why not? That last appendix there in the America Under Attack book, I went through it week or two ago. Of course they used it. They weaponized it. They brought the whole world to its knees and drove Donald Trump out of office illegally. Stole the election. This is clip 8.
The Democrats all put everybody in hiding and really hurt themselves badly.
Well, you know why they did that? You know why they did that? It was never about illness. It was never about a pandemic. It was about hurting your reelection. That was the whole point, to kill your booming economy.
It could be, but I won that election by a lot. The 2020 election, I won by a lot. The next one, I made it too big to rig. Oh, they tried. They cheated in the last one. They tried like a sheet. They gave up.
It's interesting. He's over the target, the commentator. They used it to rig the election, to hurt the economy, to put people in the basement, including your the one you are running against, Otto Penn. They used it. They weaponized it. He said, it could be, but I won that election by a lot. No, actually, they stole it from you. Well, yeah, you did win by a lot. But they stole it. That's what he's getting at. And on that point, again, you see a weaker response. And you see why it has to be weaker. Speaking of stealing elections, by the way, I think it just was last night. What was it? Wisconsin? USB sticks in Milwaukee were missing results. So they came upon this little tidbit of knowledge live on CNN. And I forget the guy's name. Kanaki, I believe. You know, he's the one that's really animated and lively when he's talking about, you know, this latest poll is this, this, and this, and the support for Trump is here and here. He's enjoyable to watch, actually, because he puts some energy into his reporting. But here he is upon finding out that five USB sticks went missing, or they were empty. Something fishy happened. You mean something like cheating? Something like stealing or rigging an election? Watch how this goes down. Clip 13.
I guess the exact thing, yes, is if five of the USB sticks were missing results from the election, so then they have to go try to re-grab them. And they're all the folks behind the scenes are talking about this as well, so we can also. Look, it's unfortunate.
The folks behind the scenes here, you're saying?
Yes.
How do I ask this artfully?
How do I respond to this artfully? Here's the man who's an eloquent talker. He can't think of anything to say. This is human nature, to steal, to lie, to cheat, to murder. And when it happens, I assume it's in a Democratic race, then it's just, I don't know what to say. Somebody did something nefarious. Trump comes out and says, we've got all this evidence for this, 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 this. And what do? Their heads explode. You want to talk about another religion? There's the vaccine religion, and then there's the U.S. voting religion. And I mean, that has a God, and he is to be worshiped the way the United States, the way California runs elections. That is sacrosanct. Nothing should be changed. There's never any interference. There's no one would ever cheat, not in California. And so it happens in Milwaukee. Evidently, the whole studio and the producers are talking about it while this guy's on the air live, and he can't think of anything to say. He's stunned. He's stunned. This Daily Signal piece, haven't had time to get to it. It's a couple weeks old. It says here, from 2018 to 2025, 660 elections were decided by fewer than 10 votes. Of those, 94 elections were decided by one vote. More and more, as the evidence turns out, again, the only defense for the talking heads is that, well, it didn't affect it enough to change the result. Look at how many close elections there are. You go back, I could bring all the receipts again if you like. You look at that crazy, never before event of 2020, election night, unprecedented, 5 days of counting, suspending the count while the Democrats regrouped through the night. And then Joe Biden began his ascent, the most popular president in the history of the United States. More votes than Obama, more votes than the dear leader, more votes than Trump, Reagan, Clinton, Bush, all of them. That was perfect. That was completely normal. Milwaukee, however, I don't even know what to say. How could this happen? Our election system is to be worshipped. Everything works. Nothing ever malfunctions. No one ever tries to hack into it. And then, of course, they all change their tune as soon as a Republican wins. Then, of course, it was hacked. Then, of course, it was cheating. that many close elections? Do you think if there's Democrat operatives, even Republicans, do you think anyone would be willing to cheat if they knew that two votes would change the results? Do you think human nature is capable of that? Look at what human nature is capable of doing. Look at our program for vaccines. Look at how we dealt with COVID. Look at how we responded to the election steal of 2020. Look at the fake narratives that came out from that, including the fake insurrection. Look at how Donald Trump was blotted out. His voice was. How did these things happen in the United States of America? 250 years in, right? It's the greatest nation in history. And, well, now we're coming into a golden age, are we? God's exposing. He's exposing our sins. And just brace yourself, because Satan hates being exposed. Human nature hates being exposed. Since 1992, there have been 1,371 elections ending in a tie, while another 530 were decided by a single vote. Well, it seems to me with these kinds of numbers that cheating could very well help one side or the other, and not even that much of it. In 2020, it was a massive amount because there are 100 million ballots floating around the nation. It says the number one reason Senate and state House representatives' elections are so competitive is that they draw the redistricting maps and handle how elections will be run. It says anyone concerned about election security shouldn't dwell on the 2020 election or things that can't be changed, but focus on the next state house elections. Don't go back and hold Fauci to account or hold Chris Krebs to account. Don't go back and prosecute Stacey Abrams or go after the dear leader. No. Don't go after those Democrat machines in Philadelphia, in Atlanta, in Detroit. No, just let it go and focus on state houses going forward. You see how it works? Don't go back and deal with the cause of all these sins. Just forget about it. Move on. No repentance needed. Just think about what's ahead. Just think about how you can win an election in the future. Just focus on making it too big to rig. And if you do that, we'll have a country that's more unified than ever before. We'll even enter into a golden age where everything is just perfect. It really is wonderful. God, don't forget what God inspired my father to write in America Under Attack. The reason that he brought back Jeroboam, that in itself, a tremendous miracle from God. But why did he do it? He brought him back so that we could have one last opportunity to turn from our wicked ways, to turn to God in repentance and faith, to get on the right track, to get to where we go from 100% sin to 0%, to where the objective, the aim is 100% righteousness, right doing, right living, going the way of God. Become you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's all we have time for on today's show, The Fastest Moving Hour in Broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.